All right. 1 minute late, but still. Whew. This was quite a stressful day today with no internet. It seems that it's up and running, at least for us here on the stadium. And that was very, very, very tight, because that's why I'm running a little bit late now to start, because everything I'm going to do in the coming hour is demo, 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 demo. And for that, I actually need to connect back to Orlando, where our data center is, where we have all these demos running. So it was really like my heart was beating in my throat, as the Dutch say. My name is Albert Kooijman. I work in the Link team. I'm the product manager for extensibility, ISVs, and everything that it is that you can do by extending Link. And that's essentially also what I'm going to show you. So if you have been ever to my sessions before, you will see a lot of familiar stuff, because it is not what comes out of the box, but it's what you build on top of it. And in that context, actually, I would like to tell you a little anecdote before I start, because what many people do not realize is that you buy incredible value with Link out of the box, but most of our customers always know how to find something that doesn't work the way that they think it should work, or what is missing in our product. And therefore, to actually build a product that actually also is a platform, that is an extreme asset. And that is what I'm going to show you today. I'm essentially going to show you on how to use Link as an extensible platform, how you can actually build stuff on top of it. And I'm going to show you that mostly through demos. And may the demo gods be with me. People here in Europe always tend to score people's evaluation worse when the demos do not work. So I ask for forgiveness up front, because I'm going to take a lot of risks here, especially with the internet circumstances the way they are. I'm going to show you about 9 or 10 demos that effectively come to do three things. I'm going to show you on how we use Link inside our enterprise, and how we actually, that's to say inside Microsoft, and how we get the benefit of it being a platform in when you are collaborating with each other. I'm going to show you on how it helps us with the platform to reach the right people, and I'm going to also show you a demo around contact center, and that's the most interesting one, I think, if you look at everything. So I'm not going to show any coding. So how many of you here are developers? No code today. But anything that I show you here actually ships either in the SDK now, or will ship in the next version of our SDK. So you will be able to do this at home as well. When I was asked as a marketing person, hey, what can you do with this platform, right? And I started telling about it, and my GM at that point in time, she chopped me into pieces. She said, hey, I can only remember three things. And by the way, if you want to be a good marketeer, you have to narrow it down to three things. What can you do with this platform? Well, and that's where actually this table came from. Because what I tried to do here, and I smuggled a little bit, I did 3 times 3. What I'm going to show you is essentially 9 little demos that show you how you use, for example, presence, and how you can do something more about it, how you can use the click-to-call, how you can provide context with each other. And all those three elements that I just mentioned, they help you work better together, right? So that is the essence of it. Then there's a second set of demos where I'm going to show you on what happens if you are with Link and you are essentially writing a business process, and how it helps you tie in people, how you can reach out. Notifications and alerts is the most important one. But you also have things like where you can ask questions and get a confirmation, or you do an expert finder. And like I said, everything of these demos that I'm going to show you actually can download as well. And then as the last part, I'm going to show you how you can use web chat, and what we are shipping out of the box as functionality of our platform, how you can do query response bots, and how you can do interactive voice response. So let's start right away. When we are talking about contextual collaboration, that's a fancy word of how you help people work better and more efficiently together. The The most simple demo that I can do is, and if I now figure it out how to switch the screen, is what I call messing with presence. Here we are. So let's minimize this for a moment. This is, well, let's pull up Link. Here you've got Link. Here you've got me logged in as, so I'm logged in as Tosh, but this is me. But I've got here a little program that we have built using our APIs. When you are using Link, you've got, just like you have in Live Messenger or in Skype, you've got this available, busy, and away state, or offline, of course, as well. And you can set those typically by just going into your program and select it from here. However, what many people do not realize is that there is an API for that. So there's an API in C# that you can use to actually set that presence. So here is the most important state. I'm actually at this very moment in a demo, so I would like to set myself to do not disturb. But when you use do not disturb inside Microsoft, no one can reach you, anymore. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to create my own present state. I'm not going to set myself to do not disturb, but just to busy, because here you've got this present state. I could have set myself to do not disturb, but I'm going to set myself to busy. This is the string that I'm going to present here where it now says busy. I would like to have that string changed in do not disturb presenting. And I'm also going to change my picture. So let me actually show you what it looks like. So the moment that I publish this, you can see I'm locked in here on this side as Albert Kooijman, that my present state here has changed to do not disturb presenting. And if I look at this, you can also see that my picture has changed from my face into this little hand. And by the way, if just to show you this a little bit more, if you try to reach me in the evening, you can still reach me in the evening, but I set myself to available. And typically what I'm doing in the evening is watching a movie. And you see now that the present state has changed to available and a movie. Now, you have to ask yourself, hey, how do I use this inside my business, right? Well, for a typical information worker, this available, busy, and away, and do not disturb, those are states that are very usable. However, if you are a task worker that has a specific state that is tied to what you are doing, at that very moment, these type of customized present state are very helpful. Like, for example, if you are in the healthcare industry, you can say, okay, hey, I'm treating a patient, or I'm at the bedside, etc. If you are not using presence for people but for objects, you could actually say this room is busy, or this room is having a meeting, or if you are having a present state of a truck. We have a company in the UK that is using present states to tell what state they are in the delivery of the packages that they are doing. So they can say with a customer delivering a package on the loading dock. So this is a first expression of how you can use presence. Like I said, for a typical information worker, the standard states that you have of available, busy, do not disturb are extremely useful. However, as soon as you start thinking about your business scenarios and about your specific states, you can programmatically set those states so that you can use those. By the way, I forgot to mention one very important use of this, that is in the contact center. In the contact center, you can be busy, you can help a customer, or you can be in a wrap-up where you need to type in all the information, and you can literally finely granulately, with a fine granular control, you can actually set those present states. So I'm going to set myself again as Albert so that I'm not going to be disturbed, although everyone is sleeping in Redmond, to do not disturb presenting, and you will not be able to reach me from this moment onwards. That's the first demo. Let's see if we can switch back and see what is the next. Yep. Hello. So, wait. Yeah, take. First demo. Oh, next demo immediately. Are we back already? No, not yet. Now, when you are trying to enhance the collaboration between people, presence is one thing. But what many people do not realize is that inside Link, there is a canvas, as we call it, a conversation window extension that you can use to enhance the collaboration that you have between people. One of the most obvious examples that there would be if you are, for example, putting yourself in the path of the communication. And the conversation translator is something that you can download from Microsoft.com that you can install yourself that helps you translate from one language to another. Let me actually demonstrate you what I mean. So here we go. I'm back at my machine here. Let me see, because how am I going to simulate now two users?
Not yet?
Sorry. Yeah, I'm back. Okay, let me log in as Albert Kooijman via OWA so that we can have two people communicate with each other. Oh, forgot my password. Okay, let's see myself presence here in a moment. If I would like to communicate with Albert, but Albert is a Dutch-speaking guy, I essentially can open a conversation and I could start typing away. However, there is this little icon here with these two little arrows that you can use to build applications that are extending communicator. The most simple one, by the way, is the information dashboard. So if you have the information dashboard, where is Albert Kooijman? And I give in here my, for example, my postal code or my, this is the postal code in the United States where I live. I can select Redmond, Washington, and I can find out what are the local things that are going on. Unfortunately, it doesn't have it in Celsius, but this is a very, very, very simple example of how you can actually retrieve information inside Link that is relevant, right? So, but the one thing that I wanted to show you where it's actually more useful because you're doing programmatically something with the conversation that is going on in Link is the conversation translator. In the conversation translator, that's also one of those mini apps that we have built in into Link that you can install. What you see here is that I am speaking English and they are speaking Spanish. Now, I am speaking Dutch here, so let me change that to Dutch and let me actually do the translation into English so that everyone can follow it. So, when I'm speaking Dutch and I type Dutch to Dutch, that is not very good. That's not going to be very helpful. Okay, does it stick? Here it sticks. So if I say hello, it translates it into hello here, and then I can actually send it. Now if I go to my OWA, you see here that there is a IM window. Oops, yeah. Click the options, always allow. Let's see if we still have it. Might need to do it again. Let me do it again, 1 second. So I've got the translator, conversation translator. I'm going to speak Dutch, they are going to speak English. I'm going to say hello. It's going to be hello, and I'm going to send it back. And I can say, hoe gaat het? And it translates it into how are you? And now if I go here, you can see there's this IM window, and Tosh is saying, hello, how are you? And I can say, I am fine. And if I go back now to Tosh, it says, met mij gaat het goed. For the Dutch-speaking people, it says, I'm fine, but then in Dutch. So this is how you actually can extend Link, right? So you can build little mini-apps in this conversation window extension that you have here. And those can be extremely useful. Many people ask us, for example, and that's tying back to what I said originally, hey, can I do this or can I do that? And like one of the questions is asked, could I get some spell checker, for example? Well, we did not build a spell checker ourselves inside Link, so there is no spell checker. But if you really would like to have a spell checker, this is the window where you could do it, right? So just like I did translation just a second ago, you can just build your spell checker into this extension window. And before you actually send it, you actually can have it spell checked every time when you're doing this. So you can see here what is the next demo. So let me see. Before I switch, the switching back and forth doesn't work, so I'm not going back to the slides all the time and just going to stay in here. So this is a demo of how you can extend it. Now let me give you a little bit more of that context, right? So another application that we have written here is more a line of business application. And in this particular line of business application, which is running here in Silverlight, but you, if you have a WPF application, you could just as well do it. What I did here is instead of having Link as a separate program, I actually have embedded the elements of Link, namely my contact list, my self-present state, inside the application itself. So just a second ago, here I've got Link as the standalone program. You can see that what I have here is exactly the same as what I see here. However, this is a control, as we call it. It's a piece of code that you actually can drag and drop into your application, and it gives you all the functionality of what Link has. So I'm setting myself to busy because I need myself to be busy in a moment. But for example, if I would like to see who are my frequent contacts, you can actually see myself to do not disturb here. And that's exactly the same as what you have here. So I literally can embed this whole contact list with a drag and drop of a control in Visual Studio inside my own application. So that gives me, especially for task workers, an extremely good opportunity to not have to switch context all the time, right? And that actually stems from an original thought. When we were trying to come up in the early 2000s with, hey, what do we need to do with Link as a product, or communication server as it was called then? And one of the most important things was that you, when you are building this, you need to avoid the disconnected world between the telephone on the one hand side and the PC. Because if I was working in those days, maybe you cannot remember anymore, but I still do, you were typing and then your phone would ring and you would literally swivel over to your phone, you would pick up your phone, and there was no way that there was a connection between that phone and the actual PC. So when we started thinking about, hey, we need to go into that communication space, what was the most important realization that we had was that if you really want to do this differently, it is not going to be about what we would call voice over IP, the ability to do the telephony over an internet or a data network. No, it is about how you actually can integrate communications deeply into your application. Now, the most obvious example of that actually is Outlook, what we have done in Outlook. Wherever you see a name there and you've got Link installed, in front of the name is the presence bubble, and from that presence bubble you can actually start a conversation. Now, take what you saw in Outlook one step further, and that is what you see here on this particular screen. You've got here an application that is a line of business application where we are trying to avoid this swivel time, trying to avoid that people have to switch context. So if I'm now working with other people in this particular proposal tracker application, I can see for each of the projects that I have who are the people that are working on this particular project. And these are other people that are in this proposal team about this particular project. I can also see all kinds of data about the particular project. So I've got a relatively narrow screen. If I would have had a bigger screen, you could see all these things. But here you can see, for example, what is the team size. Now, when I would like to talk to this person, I am trying to avoid this swivel time. I also try to avoid that this other person will need to start looking up what the hell am I talking about. Now, the most simple thing to do that, by the way, is to actually give an IM a subject, right? So if I would send an IM to Albert Kooijman, at this very moment, the subject is not there. But if you press Control J, you could say, please respond. Oh, I cannot show that in OWA. But at this very moment, if I would say hi, the IM, if it would be on the other side, it says here, please respond. Oh, you actually saw it. It came through. So it's like a subject of an email, right? So, however, you can take that to the next level. So let me go back. So I'm now going to try to transmit context to the other side from this proposal tracker application. So I'm going to talk to Emma. Now, Emma is not awake. She is actually a bot. So you have to bear with me in this demo, right? I'm going to talk to an automated responding thing. That's what we call a query response bot that is able to react to my sentences. So imagine that this was a real person, right? So she's Emma and she is happy to assist. I like that. And I would like to start a conversation. Now, on this computer, it always pops up behind. I do not know why. But at the moment that I clicked on that conversation and I say hi, what am I doing? I'm not transmitting now the context of that subject line. I'm actually going to transmit the context, if the demo gods are with me, of this particular project. and it's taking an awful long time now. Here we go. It's loading. And what I have transmitted is the information that I saw here on my website just a second ago. The other information you have more down here as well. So if I click this away and I pull this one up, what Emma would see on the other side is exactly that project that I was talking about. So you are able to make the conversation between the two people way faster, right? Because you can transmit over that data channel information to the other side. And that other side would immediately be on the same page. So if you were, I asked how many developers are here. If you are a developer and you're talking about a specific block of code, there's a plugin actually that you can download from MSDN that if you both are on link, you literally can select the code in Visual Studio on the one hand side and say, hey, that is what I would like to talk to you about. And then transmit that code to the other side so that the person doesn't need to open up that particular project, doesn't need to open that particular file, but can immediately inside that window start editing or start commenting what is the real essence of that conversation that you have. So try it out, by the way. It's downloadable from MSDN. It's one of the technical articles. But in this particular case of the proposal tracker, I'm going to transmit information about this particular project. Now, this bot is getting a little bit impatient. So she asked me, how can I help you? Are you still there? And I can actually ask her questions like, for example, are we on budget? This is Dutch translation in English for those who are, or are we on schedule? It actually now recognizes that word, that is this query response bot, and the bot actually interprets the sentence of schedule and says, oh yeah, we are on track of being on time. How may I help you? Let me actually end this. And again, this is a piece of code that you can download from the website. It's a query response bot that is actually driven by an XML file. Maybe I should show you a little bit what it looks like. Forgive me using the most awesome piece of software that is not Microsoft. Let me see, where's the interactive bot? If you go here, my dialogue is actually driven by an XML file. So here you see how you need to log in, but do you like this? If I would have inputted that, it says, yes, I certainly do. So this is a query response bot. So it's just a little XML file. As soon as I type this as an input, like lab results, free rooms, Albert Kooijman, Tim Collins, at that particular time, it will respond with one of those sentences here about. And that is the technology that's behind here. Maybe this is a little bit too technical, but imagine that you can use this. And by the way, the moment I said goodbye, I actually changed her presence string again. Hey, I'm happy to assist you, so that people know that no one else is using that bot at that particular time. Is this cool? Pretty cool, right? So you're helping people to become more efficient, working from one side to the other. Let me actually show you how other people are using this. So because this is not something. Here we go again. Come on, come on, come on, come on. Take. Yes. So I've got a few screenshots in the presentation that you can download from Showtime on how this is being used, right? So one of the applications that many people ask for is that whenever you start a conversation, whether it's a phone call or an IM, with a customer and you are on a billing schedule, right? So you are trying to make sure that every minute is actually charged to a customer. This is one of the applications built by Modality Systems from the UK that whenever a call comes in, it matches that customer to a number of projects that are going on with that particular customer so that you can actually assign it for billing reasons to that particular customer. So as soon as a conversation comes in, you can actually say, okay, hey, I'm going to charge this many hours or I'm going to charge this many minutes to this particular customer. So this is how you can make conversations pay for itself almost, right? So it's actually paid by the customer, but you understand what I mean. Now, one of the things that I do not show in my demos today is that a lot of people do not like the user interface of Link. Now, one of the things that you can do with Link is practically reskin the whole UI. And one of the most obvious uses of that is when you are building a kiosk application. That is a kiosk where you walk up. Like, for example, this is an application where you are walking up to a reception, and you can select on the screen that you see here at the center. Let me see. Yeah, here. You can select the person that you would like to visit. So your receptionist is a kiosk, is a receptionist. You select the person that you want. And then without that, it looks like Link at all, but this is all built on the Link, let's say, core infrastructure. I can say, I would like to meet with someone. And then at that very moment, you will get connected via that kiosk that you have standing at your reception to that person. And you can say, hey, I'm here. Can you pick me up? And then that person would walk to the front door and pick you up. Right, so this is an application where we have completely reskinned this. Now, this is one very practical use. There is another practical use that is very much in the space of education. This is an application that looks like nothing like Link, but it's everything Link underneath, and by the way, also a little bit of SharePoint. It's an application called Protosphere by Proto Media, and in the slide deck, there is a hyperlink if you ever want to see a video. What was the problem that those people tried to solve was that when you are essentially needing to train people, you try to engage them. The very origin of this software was actually that there were pharmaceutical companies flying in representatives from all over the world to a specific location for 2 days to learn about a particular project or product, right? So there's a new pill, people need to be flown in, and 2 days they get to hear about what are the pros and cons and how to sell that product. Now, I do not know if this is particular or normal for the industry, but those people would fly in, would have a wonderful time, but not learn that much, right? So this company actually was spending a lot of time in all that travel and then did not have that much of a return on that particular learning experience. So what they did next was, okay, let's do a webcast. Now, in a webcast, I do not know what happens with you guys, but I very often am not present at the monitor where my webcast is running when I'm watching it. I just go out, pick up a tea, I record it if I really want to look it back. So not very engaging either. Now, and that's where Proto Media kicked in. So they thought, okay, hey, how can you now actually make people attend a meeting, learn something, not have to travel, but still be interactive? And what they did is essentially they replaced every user that you have in Link as a static, just a little image, with an avatar. So here on the screen, you see the avatars that are real people. Those are the pharma reps that are coming to that particular training. And just like in Xbox, you have to move those puppets around, right? And if you do not move, you're not active. So they have actually matched this whole world of, okay, it needs to be interactive, it needs to be engaging, and you can actually interact with each other because you can talk to each other, you can actually see the other person speak, be it as an avatar, so you don't need to be afraid of what your hair looks like that day. And it is a very effective way of learning. So now once you start digging into it, and that's what you see here on the other side, it's actually Link that is powering this, and that is the beauty of it. Bottom line, however, is this Link doesn't look like Link at all. This is the third capability that you have inside the Link APIs, apart from embedding presence and making this context available and the click to call. You can actually reskin the whole Link as you want it, and it's running in the background as Link, but it doesn't look like Link at all anymore. So those are the first three things about how you can use the Link platform to actually extend this contextual collaboration, how you can make it more powerful. Now I'm coming to the second section. In this section, it is not about one person communicating to another person. No, it's about you have a piece of software, and that piece of software has a decision moment for which it needs a human intervention. It needs someone to take a decision. At that very moment, the software is going to talk to a person. So it's a machine-to-a-person communication. And in that scenario, the most important thing that you have is an outbound communication. Let me actually do a quick demo of that. Now, I need to be able to type this very, very accurately. I always make a spelling mistake here. Here we are. Are we switching? Nope. Wait. Take. Here we are. In Microsoft, we've got a bot called UtiCorp@microsoft.com. It has the maximum amount of followers because it's very popular. So in here, what we have built in is essentially this capability of doing an outbound call. So in other words, I have this query response bot that requires me to set the text exactly as it is written here. So I'm going to set myself a reminder, set reminder, and then I'm going to tell myself to stop presenting. And that's what it's going to tell me as soon as it's going to call me. And I'm going to do this on June 26th, American spelling, 2012. And I'm going to do this at 6:50 Pacific time, because this bot is running at Pacific time, AM. At this very moment, and it will call me 10 minutes before this talk is to an end, I have set myself a reminder, and it's going to call me at 6:50 Pacific time, which is going to be 10 minutes before this talk is going to end. This is essentially, you can imagine now that if you have this capability of doing an outbound call, you can also build this into your own software. Imagine that there is something waiting for an approval. In this particular case, the workflow that you have running on SharePoint that is asking for the approval, and by the way, this is again a sample that you can download, at that very moment, it is going to be the software that you have that is going to tell Link through this managed code that you have to call a particular person or to call a set of particular persons that have the approval capability. In that extension window, you can even display what is the thing that they need to approve or they can what Link they need to do. And it's going to, just like you will hear at 6:50 a.m. Pacific time, it's going to give me a call, and it's going to say, hey, you need to approve this, yes or no. I'm going to use this as a voice channel because I'm not on on the CorpNet. I'm logged in as a GotUC user. But you get it, right? So this is a very simple way of doing it. And by the way, these bots, right, there are so many of them that we are using. Let me actually do you another example. This is used by the Microsoft people in Windows, and it is a bot that essentially allows me to ask for all kinds of information. Like, for example, who am I? So you can see here all the information about myself, right? Or, you did understand me correctly. Let's keep it simpler. So this is this query response bot technology, right? So it's the other way around. Now I'm going to talk to someone automatic, but this bot technology is extremely powerful, and I will come back to that in a moment. Now, let me see, what is the next demo that I'm supposed to do? I'm going to show you a slide again to show how this is used. Still not. All right. How do customers use this, right? One of the customers that we have that is a big Link deployment is LA Fitness. That is a fitness club in the United States. And this particular fitness club, there are always things that need repairs, right? So there's always stuff that breaks down, it's getting old, it needs replacement, etc. So what they have, essentially, is they've got this bot. And they can contact the bot, and they can see exactly what are all the things that are needing repairs. And they can actually take action on it as well. So they can say, okay, hey, do I need to approve this or that? So instead of talking to a human being, anyone can just start this bot and you can say, hey, I would like to approve it or I would like to postpone it. And that is how they accelerate the whole approval process around replacing equipment. So that's a way on how they are using it. So if you are getting an inbound, so at this point in time, it's actually an outbound, the workflow is reaching out to you and says, hey, there is this locker room, this is broken, would you like to have it replaced, yes or no? You can talk to the people who have applied for it, and they all do that inside that thing, and you can take an action like approve or reject. Another system that does this is a system by a company called Avtex, And in this particular system, it's a crew dispatch system. Unfortunately, the text is a little bit dark on there. What it does is, whenever there is an emergency in a utility, at this very moment, the utility is able to automatically call out to people and say, hey, I need a foreman. Are you available? Now, you can make this as smart and as dumb as you want, right? So, for example, you can see who is on schedule or who is on call. That's the English word, who is on call. And you can then automatically have Link call out and say, hello, this is an automated system. There is an emergency here and there. Can you, at this very moment, come to help fix this power line or whatever? And you can assemble the crew automatically by just having Link dial out. One very obvious example, by the way, is a solution of which we also have a video on our website. It's a solution called FireLinks. It's based on a product called MessageLinks. This is in Australia. When there is a wildfire in Australia, in the past, and you can imagine, like just like in school, if you're in the Netherlands, whenever there is something bad going on at school, there's bad weather or the heater broke down, you had those phone trees, right? So you have to pick up the phone and you have to start calling one, and then the next one calls the other one, and everyone then gets told, today there is no school. Well, in this particular case, FireLinks is using this for a bushfire. When there is a bushfire in Australia, at that very moment, it is Link that does this phone tree, that they call all the people that are nearby the bushfire and say, hey, are you safe? There is a bushfire nearby. And they actually record that. This is a massive industry, by the way, in itself, right? So imagine any school where pupils do not appear on school. You can have an automated system call the parents and say, hey, your kid did not appear at school. Or when you are having, like in Microsoft, an emergency on campus, there are those systems that actually call you on Link and say, hey, people, there is an emergency. You need to leave your building now. Can you confirm that you received this message? And you type yes, and then at that point in time, they register, okay, this person has learned that there is an emergency in their building. They need to leave it at that very moment. Happens only a few times. There was a lynx nearby my building once when this happened. A lynx is one of those animals, right? Like a big pussycat, but a little bit bigger teeth. And those, you get such an emergency notification, and then everyone needs to leave the building and blah, blah, blah. So this is another example. So here in this particular case, hey, there is a wildfire going on. It's approximately 5 minutes away, and it automatically calls you. One other example from the UK is in the emergency response. So when you need a fire truck or what is called an ambulance. At this particular case, and by the way, you can see here, it doesn't look like Link at all anymore, right? So this is Link. It's embedded in that line of business application. They can see who are the cars that are nearby, and they literally can scrape those cars, put them in a conference call, just an ordinary conference call of Link, right? So in Link, you actually can not have only a conversation one-on-one. You can have a conversation with as many people as you want. Well, let's say up to a few hundred people. But at this very moment, those people in the operator console would just say, okay, these are the fire trucks or the ambulances that are nearby. Let's drag them into a conference and say, hey, who of you four can actually take this call? There is a 911 or a 112 in Europe. 112 call, can you immediately decide who can take this? And because that is putting everyone in touch with each other right at the same time, it makes the decision way faster than it ever was before. Now, how do we use this inside Microsoft, right? I spoke already about this solution by AdHoc, where you get the notification in case there's very bad things going on. But now bring it back to the not bad things. Think about useful things. The most useful thing where you have this outbound, there is a question that you have, and I need someone to help me, is an expert finder. And there is a download on the training and adoption guide section of Link on the web that you can download as a product called I'm an Expert. It's not a product really, it's more like a proof of concept, but it's used by quite a few companies. Let me actually show you that on what it looks like. Inside Microsoft, we've got a website. I might need to log in here as myself, so give me 1 second. Okay, on Microsoft, there is a website called Help. Oh, still not there. I apologize for that. Yep. There's a website called Help. In this particular website, and this is like exactly how you download it if you would like to deploy it, there are essentially about 4,000 something volunteers signed up to help other people in Microsoft if there is a particular question that they know about. Now, how do you actually know what is the expertise? Well, you actually profile yourself on the profile page. So here's my particular profile. Toop, 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 toop. You can either set it to your My Site or your blog or whatever is the URL that it takes. Or I can actually define keywords like CBP, Unified Communications Developer Platform, Unified Communications. I could have added link there. And I, as a demoist, I have no limit in how often I would like to be disturbed with questions, and there needs not to be any minutes before. But and you can only ask me questions that are effectively one of those keywords that I have or are mentioned on my blog. I am actually part of the largest group that we have, but you can create subgroups for everyone that is on there. Like you've got a demo group, but if you have enterprise commerce or if you have retail industry, you can create sub expertises. I'm part of the biggest one. And I actually allow to reveal my identity when I ask something and also reveal my identity when I answer. That is actually, we introduced that because once you are the known go-to guy or girl for a particular question, people will start pinging you directly, not use the system anymore, right? So if you hide the identity, so you don't choose to reveal it, then you at least have some buffer and you can just have the algorithm do this. Now, when you go into Microsoft, into the Link website, there is I'm an expert. Here's the bot. And I can ask a question like, what is CEBP? CEBP you saw on my profile, so it actually should ask myself, but of course at this very moment I'm not available. Now what happens behind the scene now is there was this system, this piece of software that took all those keywords of all those different people that have profiled themselves. And it has grouped those groups of people. Oh, there's immediately someone willing to help me. Those groups of people are now volunteers. Whenever that word is in the sentence. Okay, I thank you. I'm sorry for that, but anyhow, so you can see, right, what happens actually. So every word that is in that profile is turned into what we call a queue, and that queue, that expertise that you have, is then used to find people. The bot reaches out to seven people at the same time, and when those seven people do not answer within 15 seconds, at that very moment, you go to the next set of people, and then to the next, until someone actually finds the answer. So this is not very helpful, by the way, so I'm going to punish them, this guy. So he will not like that, because we actually get points for that. Let me actually show you that as well. So here on the leaderboard, you've got the people who are the most helpful. And when you're the most helpful, you appear on top of the leaderboard. Mr. Lees, or whatever his name is, he is not going to be here. Nope. Nevertheless. So, by the way, we use this literally on a daily basis inside Microsoft, right? So it's not that often, but here, this is the question that I just asked. What is CEBP? I will not. Oh, there's no answer, so I will not click on this one. I've got a customer that's doing AD consolidation, so there's no rating for that. But if you look at this, there's actually an interaction that typically goes on. Oh, there was no answer to this one. Let me actually see if there was an answer. What is link BOT? Let me see. Here's a real example. So go to portals list and then all items, cool, thank you, blah, 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 blah. And this is then also answered as with a 5, right? So we keep those answers, and although I'm not supposed to speak about the next version, but this technology is going to be enhanced so that you can create frequently asked questions from all those questions that are being asked. So again, the principle is the same, right? The principle is about I need, as a piece of software, to reach out to an expert, to someone outside, and I'm going to ask for that particular answer to that particular person. All right, let me see what was the next demo that I wanted to do. Well, the next demo is actually not this outbound, it's about the inbound. Let me switch back to a different user. I'm going to log out as a Microsoft user at this very moment and log in again. Yep, I'm going to end all the conversations. I'm going to sign in as toshm@gotuc.net because he's an agent in a contact center. The next demo that I'm going to do is all going to be about contact center. Now, in order to simplify this demo, I'm going to do this demo in a way that is not supposed to be, so bear with me. Some things will not work, but the beauty of it is of what how I'm going to do this demo is that everything is going to be visible on one particular screen. So there is just one screen that we have here, and on this one particular screen, you will have all the different players. All right, so what is the most blatant gap in the Link offering? There is no help desk or contact center. We don't have that. Partners have built that, many partners now, by the way, and I'm going to show you some screenshot of it in a moment. But in typically any RFP or RFI that we are getting, the question of customers like yourselves is, hey, what do I do for contact center? What do I do for my help desk? And therefore, you have to understand that though it's not part of our product, they're actually shipped with Link 2010 in the SDKs of both the client as well as on the server, a complete code sample of a contact center that actually has been taken by those partners and bumped up to a real product. So I'm going to simulate you now an experience of a customer that needs help, a customer that needs to have someone like an agent, like an expert, answer particular questions. So we have created this website called Contoso Brands where you can buy phones or you can do stuff around phones. Never try to buy it because you will not get it delivered. But the point that we have here is that you see on this website all those phones. And if I now would like to do a web chat, although it's not part of the product, on top of this platform that we have, you actually can build a complete web chat experience. It's essentially a WCF service that talks to the UC managed API, and this UC managed API then talks to the Link infrastructure. Let me show you how it works. This is all built in Silverlight, but if I have a little bit of time left, I can show you an HTML experience as well, most likely. So when I click on this particular window, it's actually downloading a Silverlight experience. I'm going to do it as a... Is there anyone here who has their laptop open, actually? I saw Mahendra, you don't have a laptop open. Shall I do? Shall I call my girlfriend? Let me see if she doesn't like that. Let me see who I could call. Oh, Theo. I can, let me see what Theo's, Theo Dallas, Microsoft.com. I could have typed in his phone number as well, but we love those SIP URIs, right? So let's do it via SIP URI. My battery is empty of my phone. So at this particular moment, what happens is because I clicked on this particular link about the Nokia phone that is tied to here, right? So you can see I click on this link and not on this link, which would have been an HTC phone. It already, just like it picked up the subject that I had, right? Or just like I picked up that it was about this particular project, I transmit the information of, okay, Link, you have to understand that this person actually clicked on a link that was tied to the Nokia phone. And don't need to ask anymore to my customer, what is the phone that you're looking for? No, I know already. I clicked there on the website. I actually can transmit in this particular invite, as it's called, I can transmit that it's about a Nokia phone, and I'm transmitting that information all the way back to Link. So I'm now connected to an expert queue, not a real expert yet, that says, hey, wait till, well, we hold you because we are looking for a cell phone expert on the topic of Nokia. Now, happens to be Tosh Meshton is such an expert. So what you see here, Tosh is busy, and we use presence here to actually report back to duty. So the moment I become available, this particular software that we have, this ACD, automatic call distributor, in this case it's an IM distributor, not a real call, but it could have been a phone call as well. When I go to available, there will be a pop-up from this, almost like I'm an expert finder, and it will ask me if I can answer a question about a Nokia cell phone. And the moment I say yes, the same happens what happened in the proposal tracker. I'm going to transmit the context of what the customer is going to ask me about. And I will therefore see the phone that that customer was looking on at the website. Plus I see some more information as well, that there is a quantity available and there are items in here. So I'm now connected to an anonymous customer and I can start talking to this customer. So I can say hi. And here on the left hand side, you will see, by the way, that it's not Tosh. Just like a moment ago, I had the choice in I'm an expert to reveal my identity or not. I, in this case, as an agent, do not want to reveal my identity. So I'm anonymized as a God you see agent. And I can say hi to that particular customer. And once you are in that dialogue with that customer, the customer can say something back as well. So let's say hi as well. And then you will see here that Tosh gets that information. Now, just a second ago, what happened was that I put my phone number in as this tail. Now, Link at this very moment does not support the ability to do a phone call right from a website. So what I need to do in case I would like to actually physically talk to this person, I need to actually open up a phone call with that particular person. Now, let me actually check one more time if Theo is available. He's actually busy, but let's hope that he's not really busy, right? Let me ask him before I do so. Let's see if he comes back with yes. Because what would happen in case he says yes, the moment I start pressing call me, it's actually going to give a call to him and to me as the agent. So he's not responding, so that's a bad sign. Shall I just try it? Let me see if it, let's see if he picks up. At the moment he picks up, actually it starts calling me as well. So he has to pick up first. He's not going to respond. Let me actually end this demo here. Oh, yeah, here he is. Can I have audio on my... Hey, Theo.
Hey, how's it going, guys?
Okay, I was just doing a demo in front of TechEd, so thanks for picking up the call.
No problem.
All right, I'm going to hang up now.
All right, bye.
Bye. So, I just called the guy. But do you now see how you... So I did the whole experience first in a website using the Silverlight application or your HTML. If I would have needed to add the voice channel, I actually could have called that person on their real phone number. So that is how you bring those modalities together, and maybe in the future you will actually be able to do this all end-to-end using the Link technology on a website. So here we go. So my session has ended. Now what many people are asking me as well is, hey, can I do this actually also not in an anonymous scenario, but imagine that I have a customer portal, right? So let me actually show you that scenario as well. So I've got here my account, and I can log in as a customer. Our customer in this particular case is called Kelly K. And I'm now logged in to this particular website, and I can see my information here. This is my account settings, and I can see what phones I've ordered. But what you see here now on the left-hand side is in the website, I can actually represent not a human being, but a group of people as a particular present state. So at this very moment, Tosh, who is one of the people in the queue, is busy. And the other guy, who I'm going to loop in a moment, Manish, he's here on OWA. He's busy as well. So at this very moment, there is no one actually available for my website. So let me actually go back here. So, however, if I have a call to the help desk, I am able to do the same thing. So when I press this chat now, at this very moment, it actually pre-populates my number, my name and my number if I would have had a phone number, but for demos I don't put in a phone number. So I'm going to press OK. At this very moment, however, you do not know what the customer is talking about, right? Because just a moment ago I clicked on this link about the Nokia phone, but in this particular case, I do not know. So it is going to ask me. It's like an IVR, an interactive voice response, where you have to press this 1, 2, 3, but now it's the same bot technology. And this bot is actually written by a Frenchman, where in French you always write all the words together. So cell phone is not like usually in English two words, it's one word. But I'm going to look for a cell phones person. And I'm going to look for a Nokia person. And at that very moment, I know again, Tosh is my guy, right? So let me pop up Tosh again. Tosh is busy at this very moment. So, but the moment that I become available, the same happens what happened just a second ago. This time the help desk is going to contact me. I'm going to say, yes, I'm able to speak about this particular topic. I don't see the particular phone, but I see actually here all the information about the customer that I did as a data dip into that application that I have. So the customer is actually ordering a Lumina phone, and I can do something with that customer. I can say hi again, and you do the same, right? So let me actually say hi, so you can see again, the Got You See agent said hi, and I can say hi back, just like I did just a second ago. Now, what many people do not know is what is the advantage of doing this in Link. Now, there's one feature that we have that is pretty unique. The uniqueness of this particular feature is that I, in my software, can control whom talks to whom just by writing in the APIs. It's a feature that we call audio routes, but in this particular case, we actually use it for the IM channel because I cannot talk to myself on the same particular system. So you've got high and high. Now, what does it mean that you can actually control who talks to whom at a particular moment? Now, the most obvious example here is when you put a person on hold. So the moment I put a person on hold, I can type whatever I like here, but it will not get through to the customer. You see? Their audio route, in this particular case, an IM route, is blocked between the two. Now, when do you typically use this? You use this when a particular sidebar is going on. You're talking to someone on your back office that needs to be looped in. Now, let me actually do this expert finder, finding someone in the back office using, again, the technology that we have built in into this application. I'm going to look for an expert on a Nokia cell phone. So here you've got a cell phones, and I've got my Nokia. This is that same XML file that I showed very early in that process, right? That you remember that I popped up this notepad window where you had those configurations. Same principle. And I'm now going to escalate it. I'm going to, just like with I'm an expert, the expert finder, I'm going to find an expert that knows something more about Nokia cell phones that I have. Happens to be that this guy that is this expert is called Manish Chopra. And given the fact that you cannot run two links on the same machine, but I can run OWA, Outlook Web App, and Link side by side, I'm actually logged in as Manish Chopra on this particular machine as an OWA user. Now, here in OWA, I can set myself to available, and what happens then is the help desk is asking me, just like in I'm an expert, whether I'm willing to take this call. Oh, now I screw up my demo because I did not type it correctly. Sorry. Let me see if it picks it up still. Yep. No, it doesn't. So let me do this one more time. Sorry. Don't ding me on this one. Escalate call. I'm going to see if it works this way. No, it doesn't. Let me restart the conversation. 1 second. That's when you make a spelling mistake. I'm going to kill this one. Going to start here from the Contoso. I'm going to do chat now. The session has ended. Okay. Chat now. I'm going to do hi. Here we are. Sorry for this. It's not a production system. I need a cell phone. Oh. Tosh is going to pick this up. It's going to say yes. Here we are going to put the customer on hold. I'm going to escalate my call. I'm going to do products, cell phones, brand, Nokia. Oh, no, Nokia. And I'm going to escalate. Going back to Manish. Manish is still busy. It's now getting available. Gets the invite. Here we were. Yes. At this very moment, I'm actually looped in into this particular conversation. So when I'm going here, I can say something like, hi. And Manish is here. And if you look at the particular customer, the customer is on hold, so doesn't see anything. If I take this call back, resume call, and if I say hi now, this is what I wanted to demo, it actually goes through to the customer as well as to, oh, this is the other way around, sorry. If I now say hi as Manish, I go through here, and here if I scroll down, the expert says hi as well. So this is pretty complex what you saw just a second ago, but the thing that I wanted to demonstrate was that if you are building these type of applications, you can exactly control whom talks to whom at what particular time. So if you would be a supervisor and you wanted to listen in onto a particular call, at that very moment, you would literally listen and the other person would not even see that you're in the call and you have that capability. So this is the next demo that I wanted to do. Let me see if there's... Let me do a different demo. One more demo. So I'm going to end this one. The most simple application that you have, if you are doing a help desk, is this opening menu that you have. This menu where you get prompted by a phone call, hey, would you like to say this or would you like to have this or that or that? We actually have that as well in our help desk. When you call the Microsoft help desk, at that very moment it says, hey, would you like to have, do you have a question about Windows or Office or, actually, let me actually show you what are the options that we have. So we have a bot inside Microsoft. Maybe I should actually log out, sign out, and sign in as a Microsoft user. Okay, so here, by the way, are bots, how they appear inside Microsoft. This is an expert finder as well. So if you have a question about Office 365, you can click on this one and you can ask the community about that. The one that I wanted to show you was this Microsoft Help Desk. This is a bot as well. So you can see actually the gear next to the person. So it's not a real person. And if I say hi to this particular help desk, what is happening is that I'm not only being presented with an IVR that actually shows you the options that you can type, like, for example, 1 for connectivity, or 2 for Outlook and SharePoint, 3 for Windows, 4 for hardware, that you see on the left-hand side. But we have extended the application that we have here to call the help desk to not have to listen to all those menus, but you can actually click on the little tiles. This is that same window that we are using for the conversation window extension. And if I have a question about, for example, SharePoint, I can click on it, and I could have selected SharePoint. Or if I have a question about Link, I go to Communications, and here there's the Link beta, and here's Link. And let me actually now, what I'm going to do is I'm actually physically going to call the help desk, just like you saw just a second ago. So you have to apologize again. Can we turn up the volume again of this application? So what happens now, if I click on this particular... It makes a call to me and to the help desk, and in a second I will speak to a person that is actually part of the help desk.
All agents are currently assisting other callers. Please stay on the line for the next available agent.
Ah, so there
we go. All agents are still assisting other callers.
So I'm actually physically connected now to that help desk. And if there were a person that is really available, I would not have gotten this message that we are in the queue. But you have essentially bypassed this whole IVR menu, right? So in Microsoft, there's about 1,500 calls a day. And when you had to listen to the IVR menu, so if I call 6,500, let me actually show you that what happens there, right? So
I get the Microsoft Service Desk. For Windows 8 and Internet Explorer, press option 3.
For network connection support, press 1. For Outlook, SharePoint, or other Office products, press 2. For operating systems, Internet Explorer, and security software, press 3.
It takes you about a minute to have listened through all these options to actually get connected. So if you have this visual IVR, right, that I showed here just a moment ago, it can actually save already about a minute of your time. But it actually also saves Microsoft 1 minute of phone calls. And on a yearly basis, that is in the order of magnitude of about $55,000 that we save just by having implemented this little IVR in a visual way. So people just go in, they click on the tiles, and they get connected to the system. So that's the next system that I have. Oh, and we actually, because I logged out as Microsoft. Let me, I missed a call that reminded me about that I have to stop presenting. We have 7 minutes left. So let me actually show what are the solutions that are built that actually... Still not. System is not. Here we go. As I spoke about, there are many, many solutions available from different partners that have taken this contact center software to the next level. They've taken our code, like here in, I should have given a European example. There's a company called Luware in Switzerland that has taken this code of the contact center sample and has implemented it in a way that essentially allows us to do very fancy stuff just as an add-on product to Link. This is another solution actually from the United States by a company called Prairie Fire, and they've built this software that we showed just a second ago all into their product, and they offer this type of functionality as well. Let me actually do one more demo, because just a second ago, I've got 5 more minutes. What I showed you just a second ago was effectively all... Come on. Here we are. Now I'm going to take a risk. This is not to be tried at home, right? So, but what many people do not realize... Let me actually sign in as Tosh again, as an agent. What many people do not realize is that you can offer the same functionality that I showed via the website. You can show that, sorry, the bot is down. So here it says offline. But I also could have called it via Live Messenger. And in the future, you can imagine that Skype can do exactly the same. So I do not know what's going on here. Let me actually see if I can sign out from everywhere and if it's going to help. What I'm trying to get is that same help desk that I had just a second ago for the contact center and do a video call. What we get namely more and more is that you would like to have this conversation not only via the audio channel or via the IM channel, but Link also supports video. Let me actually see what if it came online now. No, I'm sorry. What I wanted to show is that you cannot only do this for IM, you cannot only do this for voice, but you can also do this for video. And for that, I needed to fake the system a little bit, but by making a live messenger call to my agent using a video camera. But unfortunately, I cannot reach the help desk at this very moment. So this demo is going haywire. If you want to take a risk, not always happens. Let me then go back to... the wrap-up. 4 more minutes left. In the wrap-up, if you want to do this, there are 2 SDKs that you can download. One is for client-side development, which is called the Link 2010 Managed API, or Link 2010 SDK, or the UC Managed API, which is the server side. Link 2010 is the client side and the server side. All the demos that I've shown you just a second ago are either part of that SDK or on MSDN available as separate downloads. So if you ever would like to show this at home, there's actually a whole set of VHDs that you can download from the website as well, in which we have installed all these particular demos. So if you ever want to show this, that's what I showed you just a second ago. And with that, I would like to go to Q&A. Any questions? Okay, let me summarize the question for the recording. Essentially, the question was, hey, this is a great product, but if you are taking this to customer support, your licensing model does not always fit because you essentially would need to have a license for those external users. I think there is a slight misunderstanding there, because if you have people who are not part of your Active Directory that are outside of your company, there is what we call an external connector, which is essentially a per-server license. So you potentially need to talk to your license expert on that. However, the one thing that I do want to say is that I believe that what you saw at this very moment in all the demos that I gave is a particular snapshot in time of what the technology is capable of now. But fast forward this 6 months, 12 months, 18 months, I'm 100% sure that there will be other options of connecting as an external user to Link as an infrastructure. Just imagine about Skype and what are the options of customers using Skype to connect to this backend of Link. Imagine what the web technology will be capable of in, let's say, 2 years from now. So the technology, what you saw here, was very Link-focused and very much on focused on the internet. But you can trust us that this will be something that will evolve over time in a way faster pace than you can imagine. Maybe still too slow, but that is what you need to think about. So with regards to licensing, there are licensing models that actually allow you to do this at a very affordable time. At this very moment, it still relies you on either IM and the technology that I showed you, where it's not using Link, or if you are using Link, it needs to download Link. But in the future, there will be other options, like I mentioned, Skype and web technologies that will be available. Any other questions? Yes, so the question is, hey, the SDK sample that I showed was actually showing three personas: the customer, the agent, and the expert. In a typical contact center, what you have is also the ability to see how many people are in the queues, more, let's say, from a supervisor point of view, where you see that. Actually, the demo, the SDK sample, has that implemented as well. So if I go to computer 4, let me see if I was able to sign in here. And then I go to here. There's a persona called Lena Ahling. Unfortunately, the machine went down, so cannot show yet. But yes, in the SDK, there is that part implemented as well. All right, last question. So the question is about, hey, if you're looking at the fewer forward, let's say, next generations, there is typically a lot of breaches of continuity in APIs. I can predict already that the next version will support these two APIs that I've shown you also exactly the same as they are. So in Link, those remain stable. And there will be, of course, new features available and new APIs available, but the features that we have actually will be available in the next generation as well. The other thing that I wanted to call out is that if you have Link 2010, it actually supports up to two versions backwards as well. So if you have UCMA 2.0, you still can run a UCMA 2.0 application against a Link 2010. So your old applications can also run against future Link servers up to two generations back. So that's the answer that I have to give you. Hey, with this, I would like to thank you all. Sorry for going a little bit late. Please fill out the evaluation form, and I hope you enjoyed the demonstrations here.